Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Beloved Master, Paramahansa Yogananda, Saints of all religions, humbly we bow to you all. Dearest friend Swami Kriyananda, we celebrate your merging into the light with deep gratitude for all that you have given us and continue to give. We celebrate your ascension by rededicating ourselves to serve the great cause to which you gave your life, self-realization for all, through the uplifting presence and divine teachings of Blessed Paramahansa Yogananda. We are your very own. Inspire and guide us. Om Shanti Shanti. Amen. Please be seated. We have a program of readings and music, a little bit of meditation, a few words from me, and then we'll end with rose petals on the altar offered by all of you. So as the evening progresses and we draw closer to the vibration of Swamiji, think about what you may in your heart feel that you can give back for all that has been given to us. So when the opportunity comes symbolically to pick up a handful of rose petals, you can infuse those petals with more meaning than just the leaves of a flower. Because all of this, everything that happens, only really happens in our own consciousness. And the more deeply we participate inside ourselves, the more occasions like this can actually be moments of real change and transformation for each one of us. Swami's only intention in incarnating and his only purpose in his life was to bring each one of us who was willing closer and closer to Master. So the best present we can give him is to show him that his work was not in vain and that each one of us has become and will increasingly become pure channels of that light to all.
Dare to be different, dare to be free, dare to roam far like winds on the sea. Fly like a gull, soar high on the air. Be strong in your courage when others despair. Never in anger, never in haste. Go without pride. Freedom is yours if freedom you'll give. To all give it freely, in freedom you'll live. Mountains that stand up tall to the sky tell us no dreaming is ever too high. Dare to climb boldly, brave that high peak. You'll never know failure if bravely you sing. Dare to be different, dare to be free, dare to roam far like wind on the sea. Fly like a gull, soar high on the air, be strong in your courage when others despair. Be strong in your courage when others despair.
Lord, I am thine, I am thine, I am thine. Lord, I am thine, I am thine. Lord, I am thine, I am thine, I am thine. Lord, I am thine, I am thine. Be thou mine, oh, be thou mine. Be thou mine, oh, be thou mine. I am thine, I am thine. Be thou mine, oh, be thou mine. Be thou mine, oh, be thou mine. I am thine, I am thine. Lord, I am thine, I am thine, I am thine. Lord, I am thine, I am thine. Lord, I am thine, I am thine, I am thine. Lord, I am thine, I am thine. Be thou mine, oh, be thou mine. Be thou mine, oh, be thou mine. I am thine, I am thine. I am thine, I am thine. I am thine, I am thine.
Excerpt from the audiobook that Narayani made, My Heart Remembers Swami Kriyananda. Most of you probably know that Narayani, for the last 10 years, and especially the last few years of Swamiji's life, was his constant companion and caregiver. And in the last days of his life, the last year of his life, he asked her to write a book, which she did. And this is, she was with Swamiji when he took his last breath. He was looking right at her when he took his last breath. And so she's going to read from the audiobook about Moksha Day, when it first happened.
One of the movie scripts Swami worked on in Los Angeles was the story of Ananda. The last week of his life, Shivani, the executive producer, brought Swamiji the finished movie, Finding Happiness. He invited a small group of friends to watch it with him at his house. Finding Happiness is a creative blend of fact and fiction. The fiction is a journalist from New York who comes to California to find out about Ananda Village. The fact is the community itself, the people, and their stories. The journalist was an actress, but everyone else, including Swami, played himself or herself. People who have had near-death experiences often talk about a life review. Your whole life passes before you, and you see the successes and failures and all the lessons still to be learned. Watching that movie with Swami was like watching his life review. It captured in 90 minutes the fruit of Swami's 60 years of discipleship. When Finding Happiness ended, there were tears in every eye. No one could speak. Many of those present had walked with Swamiji every step of the way and knew all the sacrifices he had made to manifest Ananda. Finally, wiping the tears from his eyes, Swamiji broke the silence. "I see my guru's dream fulfilled. I have accomplished all that I came to do. Master is very pleased." That night, Swami's heart was overflowing with joy. Whatever lingering doubt he might have had about pleasing his guru, finding happiness took it away. He had emptied himself out completely in service to Master. "I'm so eager now to go to the astral world," he told me. Then paused for a few seconds. "Better still, to achieve final liberation, moksha." His words did not feel like a wish. They were a prophecy.
The green summer fade and winter draw near. My Lord, in your presence I live without fear. Through tempest, through snows, through turbulent tide, the touch of your hand is my strength and my guide. I ask for no riches that death can destroy. I crave only thee, your love and your joy. I ask for no riches that death can destroy. I crave only thee, your love and your joy. The dancers will pass, the singing must end. I welcome the darkness with you for my friend. Summer fade and winter draw near. My Lord, in your presence I live without fear. Through tempest, through snows, through turbulent tide, the touch of your hand is my strength and my guide. I ask for no riches that death can destroy. I crave only thee, your love and your joy. I ask for no riches that death can destroy. I crave only thee, your love and your joy. The dancers will pass, the singing must end. I welcome the darkness with you for my friend.
A reading from the book Light Bearer. For his testament, Swami began by saying, "Ananda has never been my own work, personally. It was done for Master and our line of gurus. And if anyone should consider Swamiji as their spiritual teacher, let it be as a representative of our line of gurus, and not as a guru in my own separate right." Among other guidelines, he says that if, in future, any dispute arises as to the correct interpretation of the will and teachings of Master, they should ask, "What would Kriyananda have done or decided?" rather than referring to what his fellow disciples might have done. As Ananda is, itself, a particular ray of my guru's mission and teaching. An important part of his life work, Swamiji wrote, has been to carry to its logical conclusion Paramahansa Yogananda's endeavors to show how his spiritual teachings may be applied in more mundane avenues of life. As for his legacy, "My legacy to Ananda is spiritual in nature, primarily, and consists of the teachings, ideals, and vibrations I have received from my guru. His wish is that Ananda remain faithful to the two ideals that have always defined it. People are more important than things, especially in their spiritual needs. And where there is adherence to right attitude and action, there is victory. Finally, that Ananda will always remain faithful to its priorities. Our primary goal is to find God and to unite our souls with Him in divine love. Our secondary goal is to serve God above all, free from the influence of passing fads and opinions."
Every morning when I greet the sun, when I move forth through crowded ways, in my heart, Lord, ever so silently, I will always think of Thee. In my heart, Lord, ever so silently, I will always think of Thee. When I laugh, oh, and when I cry with pain, when my best friends misunderstand, in my heart, Lord, ever so silently, I will always think of Thee. In my heart, Lord, ever so silently, I will always think of Thee. God, my God, I am Thine for eternity. Dear God, my God, I am Thine eternally. Though my path lead me over desert sand, though it take me through bitter storms, in my heart, Lord, ever so silently, I will always think of Thee. In my heart, Lord, ever so silently, I will always think of Thee. When I'm working and when in earned repose, let come victory or low defeat. In my heart, Lord, ever so silently, I will always think of Thee. In my heart, Lord, ever so silently, I will always think of Thee. Dear God, my God,
eternity.
This is another reading from Lightbearer. One evening, someone asked, "Of all the things you have accomplished, of what are you most proud?" "I don't feel I've accomplished anything," Swamiji answered. "God is the doer." Then he added, "There is one thing. I am a disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda. Even then, proud doesn't fit, because I don't feel I even exist. Everyone has a secret. Mine is the power of the guru." In a letter to a friend, he wrote, "I have done my humble best to serve Master in this lifetime, and to the very best of my capacity. I do not consider that anything I have done is important, except as it has served to promote his message and his mission in this world. When I come before Master after this life passes, the only question I expect him to ask me is, 'Have you loved me?' With all my heart, I will say, 'You are all I have ever loved.'"
I've passed my life as a stranger, Lord, roamed far in foreign lands, far, Lord, far, too far. Only he who knows he's far from home, only he, Lord, understands. Only he who knows he's far from home feels the earth and understands. Sometimes a stranger did take me in, then love I thought was near. Love, Lord, where is love? Like the winds upon the desert sand, whisper hope, then disappear. Like soft winds breathe on the desert sands, so love sighs, then disappears. Sometimes a child laughed and I did pause, and dreamed of joys at home. Joys, Lord, only a dream. For what joy is there without your smile, empty like the ocean foam? For what joy is there without your smile? You're the sea, all else is foam. How long must I be a wanderer, Lord? You know where I belong. You know, Lord, yes, you know. Home is where my Lord's sweet presence is. I've grown tired of stranger songs. Home is where my Lord's sweet presence is. Bless me that I hear your songs.
This is Swami's last letter. It was his Easter message on March 29th, 2013. 23 days later, he passed. Dear ones, I wish I could bless each and every one of you with a happy Easter. Easter is a time symbolizing the eventual resurrection of our little individual selves into the one infinite self. I suggest at this time particularly that you study and meditate on the photograph of Master titled The Last Smile. And consider this amazing fact. He knew that in just a few moments he would be leaving his physical body forever. There was no thought of self in his eyes, of personal regret, of sorrow. Clearly visible in his eyes and in his facial expression is his unconditional love for all mankind, his readiness to return again and again, as he put it, as long as one stray brother sat weeping by the wayside. Such love for ego-centered humanity is not even conceivable. And this was a love that Jesus, too, felt for all humanity. People weep for him, for his suffering on the cross. His suffering was only for humanity that blindly rejects God's love and substitutes for it vengefulness and hatred. I have been going through a personal Armageddon. Nothing in this world attracts me anymore. Nothing holds any pleasant memories. None of those experiences, whether interpersonal or outward in any way, holds the slightest attraction for me. Must I really live another 5 years, as has been predicted for me? I confess, the very idea appalls me. I have done so much in my life to please God. The very hallmark of my nature has been enthusiasm, even though I've always been aware that I could really never accomplish anything significant in this world. Suddenly, now, I feel bereft of that enthusiasm. Maybe it's because my heart feels very tired. I want only to merge in God. The only lingering thought is that I would like to bring all of you with me. No, I am far from tired of you. I want only your freedom in God. But no, your worldly attachments, identities, and desires, I have to confess, mean simply nothing to me, as my own mean nothing to me. No, this doesn't mean that I love you less. I love you more, much more, for I love that part of you which is eternally real. But whether I succeed or fail in my projects is meaningless. All the things that I once considered pleasurable are to me now displeasing. I want nothing that this world has to offer. People tell me that I am famous. That phrase to me is also meaningless. People often marvel at all that I have been able to accomplish in this life. To me, it is only dust. If we must resurrect our souls, let it be from the delusion that anything in this cosmic dream holds some worthwhile reality for us. We are children of God. That is our soul reality. Love, Swami.
Thank you. Thou and I are one. Thy cosmic life and I are one. Thou art the ocean, I am the wave, we are one. Thou art the flame, I am the spark, we are one. Thou art the flower, I am the fragrance, we are one. Thou art the Father, I am thy child, we are one. Thou art the Beloved, I am the Lover, we are one. Thou art the Lover, I am the Beloved, we are one. Thou art the song, I am the music, we are one. Thou art the Spirit, I am all nature, we are one. Thou art my friend, I am thy friend, we are one. Thou art the Master, I am thy servant, we are one. Thou art my mother, I am thy son, we are one. Thou art my master, I am thy disciple, we are one. Thou art the ocean, I am the drop, we are one. Thou art all laughter, I am a smile, we are one. Thou art the light, I am the atom, we are one. Thou art consciousness, I am the thought, we are one. Thou art eternal power, I am strength, we are one. Thy peace and I are one. Thy joy and I are one. Thy wisdom and I are one. Thy love and I are one. That is why thou and I are one. Thou and I were one. And thou and I will be one evermore.
I want only thee, Lord, thee, only thee. 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 I want only thee, Lord, thee, only thee.
Bit of meditation now. A few minutes of silence, taking in all that we've heard and felt of the presence of Swamiji in our lives now. Listening to Narayani talk about that, the movie, it wasn't the excerpt that I expected, self-evidently. I was there. I actually brought the movie over from America. Swamiji had taken a holiday in Goa in January, which was his habit. The movie was filmed and edited in 2012, finished just before the end of the year. And I was doing what Swami had asked me to do, which was to travel. And so I was traveling over to India, and I had a lecture tour set up. He was on holiday in Goa. Usually, he took a big crowd of people with him when he went, 8, 10, 12 people. But that year, he only wanted Narayani and Sherjo with him. Even his nurse, Miriam, who really never left him, was in Goa, but she wasn't at the same hotel. He just really wanted just the two of them. And then I'm coming over. The film is finished, and I have it. It's a physical thing then. And I wasn't scheduled to meet up with him for 3 weeks, but everyone agreed that that was a very bad plan. So I changed my plan so that I would go to Goa first and meet Swami and show him the film, and then I'd go on with my commitments. And Shivani wasn't there. She was in Europe. And Shivani had been the unstoppable willpower that caused that movie to be made. And the way she put it to me, she pulled me into the making of it, which was delightful and unexpected on my part. And we all knew that Swami's life couldn't go on much longer. His predicted departure was actually a few years already overdue. The Bhrigu reading and other things had spoken of his life ending a year or two earlier. I can't remember exactly when. And then he'd had this astrologer tell him that he was going to live 5 more years, which is what he referred to in the letter Mahavir wrote. None of us felt that astrologer had a lot of authority, but we all, in this unique matter, hoped that he did. And it was kind of a push-pull with Swamiji, our all hoping that we had 5 more years, and him frankly and openly hoping that he didn't. But his attitude was completely whatever Divine Mother wants. Just that. He would say one thing, he would write another, but in the end, it was always, nevertheless, thy will be done, not mine. So Shivani was very eager to get that film to Swami, because for her, in the most, in the sweetest possible way, she had been a founding member of Ananda. She was one of the first 6 or 7 people to winter over the first year. After Swami bought the property, which is the seclusion retreat, Sadhana Devi, Jaya, Binay, Satya, Shivani, and there may have been one or two others that I don't remember, but they lived at the seclusion retreat in very humble circumstances that first year. So Shivani had devoted 100% of her life in her 150% way to building Ananda. But she said to me, she never felt she had done anything personally for Swami until this movie. So we were there, and I won't repeat what Narayani says about sitting there, because it really was extraordinary. And Shivani was like, Narayani had her phone right here. Shivani was sitting next to her phone. She was following it from thousands of miles away in Italy, you know, and then as soon as we could, we pressed it and said simply, he likes it. That's all she needed to know at that point. Were we starting over? But what Narayani said, especially in retrospect, because this was the end of January of 2013, and of course he died in April, that feeling that Swami had, and it was extraordinary, that film confirmed that his life for Master, that Master had given him a great work to do, and he'd done it. I mean, just for a moment, think what that means. You know, the saints all tell us that if everyone is against you and the guru is for you, nobody's opinion counts except the guru. And if everybody is for you and the guru is not approving of you, then nothing that you've done matters. And so Swamiji, even though it was so obvious to the rest of us, he always had this feeling, you know, is there more I can do? And the, especially in retrospect, the profound sense of completion that that movie offered him was just like one more moving things aside so that the way would be clear for him to simply walk away with nothing behind him. Among the predictions for his life was something that was not a phrase that we'd ever heard before, which is Dharma Moksha. Moksha means complete freedom. And I think it was in the Bhrigu reading that he would attain liberation and Dharma Moksha, meaning that everything that he was meant to do, he would have done. And so Swami was always looking. A few years earlier, and I can't quite remember the exact year, Swami went to Medjugorje in Yugoslavia, or I guess what they say is the former Yugoslavia. And that's where Mother Mary has been appearing to a small group of visionaries for about 30 years. And she doesn't appear to all of them as often as she did, but she continually still repeats, appears to some of them regularly, every few days, once a month, whatever it might be. And Nandini went with Swamiji. Miriam and Nandini went on that trip. I think no one else did. And Nandini has a divine gift for making friends, and through her tremendous love of people and the friendship she extends them, people respond to her also. So she was able to bring Swami right into close contact with several of the visionaries, including one he particularly felt close to, Visca, I think is how the name is pronounced. In written English, it looks like Vika, but that's not the right pronunciation. And Swami said to her, please ask Divine Mother, you know, when you see her in the form of Mother Mary, if there is anything more I can do to serve her. He said, I've done everything that I can think of to do, but please ask her if there's anything more that she would like me to do. You think, what a consciousness on so many levels. One, to just want to ask. I mean, here already, you know, they have a system there for helping older people or people who are infirm, and these young men, they have a, you know, like a palanquin, they have a chair, and they literally carry Swami in the chair up the mountain. And so, of course, he was elderly and enfeebled in the end of his life. And they had to carry him up the mountain. But as long as he was breathing, as long as he could breathe, Swami was saying, what more can I do? Later, someone asked him if, you know, did he ever get a message from her? He said, no, nothing outward, but inwardly. He felt there had been a response. So we have an example in front of us, you know, of a life that nothing else matters. And in what Mahavir was reading to us, when that letter came out on that Easter, which was less than a month before Swami died, the complete, and the word for it is vairagya. Vairagya is a very special, wonderful Sanskrit word, which just means a total disinclination for the things of the world. It's a really wonderful word to contemplate. Because it's not an aversion, it's not a fear, it's not a hatred in any way. It's just a disinclination. And so Swami writes that letter, and he says himself, enthusiasm has always been the hallmark of his nature. But now he has a total disinclination for this plane of existence. And of course, he was just about to exit from it. Swamiji, actually, a few years prior, had mentioned to me, just in a conversation in which, as it happened, I was the only one there. And he told me that when Master was at the end of his life, Master also, well, I'll say at the time I didn't know it is also, but Swami said, Master just repudiated everything about this world. He was getting ready to leave it, and he was finished. And I was thinking in that light about how Swami says in the path that Master told him, when as a liberated soul, Master was saying, when he sees that he has to take another incarnation. Now, how that process happens is, of course, beyond anything I can even imagine. Master spoke of Babaji, Jesus and Babaji together, decided that a messenger had to be sent. Yogananda was that messenger. So that somehow that's how it happens. Now, if Master himself was Jesus in a previous life, then Master himself is making the decision to come to this world. And Master said, when I see the personality I have to assume, he says, it feels like putting on a heavy overcoat on a hot day. He says, it's itchy and uncomfortable for a while, but then I get used to it. Now, I rush into my personality and rush into my body so that I can have another experience of this world. Master puts it on like a heavy overcoat at a time when you don't even need one. The world that we're going to is very different than the world we live in. And the whole time that Master was here, just as Swami did, he was enthusiastic. He was full of energy. He ran out onto the stage. How feels everyone awake and ready? And he just lived so dynamically. But when it was over, it was done. And then Swami writes in that letter, you know, looking into Master's eyes, no regret, no attachment. This was my assignment. I carried it out. Now it's ending. So Swami says, you know, a complete disinclination for this world. Nothing here, whether beautiful or not, or pleasant or unpleasant, it doesn't hold me anymore. I'm just on my way into something else. And I'm on my way into the only goal there is, which is moksha. And nothing here by comparison. It's all a means to an end. And the way he puts it, you know, I don't love you any less for loving only the divine in you and loving you for the sake of the divine in you. What a friendship that is. When Mahavir was reading that, I was thinking to myself, you know, just asking myself the obvious question, how do I love? You know, what do I love? How completely do I love? I mean, that's why Swami existed. That's why he says what he says, so that we can hold that up as a mirror and say, how close am I to that? How much courage do I have even to consider that? Even to consider vairagya on that level? And of course, what is appropriate for him is not always appropriate for us, to put it mildly. But he nonetheless, he's blazing a trail, and the path we're standing on leads there. And how quickly and cleanly and powerfully we make that journey, that's what all of our lives are about. All the adventures we've had, all the adventures we will have, every choice that we make, it just rolls on and on. It's interesting that that part from Narayani's book was about the movie, because for those of you who were part of Palo Alto on that April day, we had the premiere showing of that movie right in this temple earlier in the evening of the very evening that Swami died. And one of the things that that film has in it, if you haven't seen it in a while, it has extraordinary footage of Swamiji, and of a very different kind than most of what we have, because even though there was an outline for the movie, Swami just was simply himself. And the woman who was the actress, the one fiction part of it, it had all shifted way out of fiction at that point. They were friends. She wanted what he had to give, and he was giving it to her as much as she was able to receive. And he was giving to her in the same way he gives to anyone who is receptive to his vibration. And then it was all filmed. So just those scenes with Swamiji, and of course I was there, and it was just, he was radiant. I mean, he was 6 months, 8 months away from the end of his life, and he was just radiant. And we had a premiere showing of the film in here, and I went home at, I must have been home by 9:30 or 10, and I fell asleep for a while because it had been such an incredibly intense experience, everything with that film. And 11:15, 11:30, first one phone call, then the second phone call. It was morning in Assisi, and it was the middle of the night here. And first I heard Swami's having trouble breathing. And then the next I heard 15 minutes later from Kirtani was, Asha, Swamiji is free. And then we heard everything else. Swami just left. And I had a feeling from, you know, just that came over me over the next days of how enormous that experience was for us, for me, from this side, and how small that experience was from Swami's side. You know, he had to say goodbye. He was with Narayani. She was there. He was having trouble breathing. Miriam was trying to persuade him to keep breathing. And then she asked Narayani to speak to him because she thought he would respond more to Narayani's voice than any other. And so he took another breath and he opened his eyes and he looked at her and then he exhaled and he didn't come back after that. And, you know, just like it rocked the world that I live in. Just not surprised, because Swami was so physically unwell that that last year, literally, Narayani and Sherpa would be on either side of him, and without them, you know, propelling and supporting his body. There's a little film somewhere that I saw of, I don't think it was here. No, because she wasn't here. It was in Europe or India. And Swami was standing and singing. And Narayani literally, she had her hands on him like this because he had so little balance that, you know, she held him like this just to keep him vertical. And they would move him. And as soon as Swami was settled, didn't have to do anything but with his body, his face and his spirit, his face would look, he looked just like he did when he was a child. He was so full of energy. But to do anything with this was such an issue. So the idea that he would want to leave it and did leave it was self-evident. But he left it so gently. You know, he got up, he was working, he went to check his emails, because he always did that in the morning, because he was in connection with people all over the world, so night and day was different. And he would always go to see if somebody needed something from him. And then he came to the breakfast table, and then he had a seizure, and they moved him from the breakfast table to the bed, and 15 minutes later he was gone. That was it. That was the end, like that. I had always thought that we would have warning and that there would be a long cycle of time where everyone would come through and we would visit wherever he was in the world. I was so paranoid during those years that when I had to renew my passport, I paid like $250, or maybe it was even more, to get it done in 24 hours, because I was afraid that something would happen and I wouldn't have my passport. And even then, I knew exactly where it was, and I knew that I could go get it if I had to. But because I always thought there would be space like that, but there wasn't. Because for Swamiji, I just felt like when he just exhaled, this is what I'm wanting to say. There was so little of him left that what he pulled away with was just the last little drop. Everything else had already been surrendered, just long since surrendered. And that's what, you know, that's what our friend and guide is for us, is that absolute surrender. I can speak of it. I don't pretend to live anywhere near that. But what Swamiji has always been for me since the first day I saw him, 1969, just before Thanksgiving, he's always been the pole star. You know, I understand the word pole star more than I understand the word guru. I just, you know, guru is a, you know, it's such an enormous word. But the word pole star I understand, because pole star is the unchanging point in the universe against which everything is measured. And, you know, that's the unchanging point in the universe, not just because of his relationship to us, but because of his relationship to Master. You know, that's what it looks like. And so there's always a point in which I can measure myself against it. And even if I am way far away from it, that really doesn't bother me. What terrified me before that November day was that there was no pole star in my life. And therefore, everything was uncertain. And when Swami walked into the room that day, the words that arose unbidden from some part of myself said, "He has what I want. He's done it." I knew that you could become a God-realized saint. I knew it in theory, but I'd never seen it. And then I saw it. That's it. There it is. That's what I want. And he was willing to share it. He lived to share it, and lives still to share it. That's what it looks like. No, no, that's what he says. "I'm not tired of all of you, not at all. I am tired of this plane of existence in which we have to relate in such a muddle. But I'm not tired of your spirit. I'm not tired of God within you. And I love you all the more for loving that in you." So I have taken to answering almost all my emails, no matter what people ask, by saying, "We are so blessed. What a wonderful life we have. What amazing good karma we have, even to know about the possibility of realizing God, and then to add to it the masters on the altar and our friend and guide, Swami Kriyananda." When Devi said once, many years ago, she said, If we don't make spiritual progress this life, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. And I've often thought of that. Everything is poised for us to draw very close to God. And all it requires is our courage and our cooperation. And they'll open the doors for us. So now, my friends, we have these wonderful rose petals. And we have all these wonderful images on the altar. And they would like to be combined with our devotion. So while we have music or something like that, as you feel to, those of you who are in the room, please come forward and place as many petals as you like, wherever you feel to place them. And those of you who are watching us from a distance, pick the flower petals of your heart and place it before the masters with the prayer that they bless you and with the prayer that we are able to receive the shower of blessings that they are constantly pouring out to us. So let us do that.
Sun rays on the snow of a winter long, in darkness without song. Oh, my heart's a fire, burning all desire. Only you remain, and life again. Sun rays on the snow of a winter long, in darkness without song. Oh, my heart's a fire, burning all desire. Only you remain, and life again. Too long I did stray, flung lifetimes away. Imagined you did not care. I know now your smile was mine all the while. I listened and love was there. I can't breathe for love. All the stars above call to me, come home. Life's waves all end in foam. Only love can heal all the pain I feel. What a fool was I to turn away. Love is all I know.
sun rays on the snow of our winter long. In darkness without song, oh, my heart's afire, burning all desire. Only you remain and life again. Love is all I know. Sun rays on the snow of a winter long. In darkness without song, oh, my heart's afire, burning all desire. Only you remain and life again. Too long I did stray, flung lifetimes away. Imagined you did not care. I know now your smile was mine all the while. I listened and love was there. I can't breathe for love, all the stars above call to me, come home. Life's waves all end in foam. Only love can heal all the pain I feel. What a fool was I to turn away.
Together. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Beloved Master, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, dearest friend and guide, Swami Kriyananda, humbly we bow to you all. May thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion. And may we be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. Om peace. Amen.
Peace gave us the mountains, peace gave us the sky, nightly when starlight enfolds us. Peace is its lullaby. Amen. Amen. Bees gave us the seasons. Peace gave us the rain, cool clouds that gather to bless us, mist hands that soothe away. Our heart's love, peace gave us our smiles, rays of God's presence within us, light that all strife reconciles.